Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we continue today with our discussion of the mission from heaven that has been established in our day by the Great Mother of God. And of course, we're speaking of Our Lady's mission at Bayside, the Lords of America. Her mission, as always, is to bring mankind to the true knowledge of her Son, who is Christ. Because, unfortunately, the true knowledge of Christ has been lost in these latter days. Most people today, if you were to take a survey, do not believe that Christ was God himself, the maker of the world. Many believe that he had brothers and sisters, or that he was subject to crooked human passions and temptations. And the reason that they hold to these errors is because they don't hold to the Blessed Virgin. We need her power and her intercession in order to have the proper vision of Christ. She brings us to the true knowledge of Christ. And we even see this in Holy Scripture. We refer to John chapter 2, the marriage feast of Cana, to which the Blessed Virgin and her son were invited. And Mary turned to her son and said, "They have no wine." And he said to her, "Woman, what is that to me and to thee?" But she very confidently turns to the waiters and says, "Whatsoever he tells you to do, do it." You see, she had this whole thing sewed up. This was her arrangement. And he turned right around then and changed the water into wine. Now, this was most significant because this was Christ's first public miracle. This was the first time in Holy Scripture where Christ showed us that he was God himself in person, a miracle worker. This was a major revelation for the world, but the point being that this all came through Mary's intercession. She wanted him to show the world his powers, and so for her, he did just that. And this is the second luminous mystery that we contemplate in the Holy Rosary, namely, that the knowledge of Christ's divinity comes to us through Mary's intercession. This is the moral of the story, in other words, the lesson. And we see Our Lady maintaining this same role today in the Bayside Message. On May 26, 1979, Our Lady said, "My Son rose from the grave, both body and soul, and he ascended into the kingdom of God, but he is God, and you shall not deny his divinity in the Godhead. All who do are deluded by Satan and shall be called false prophets." On August 4, 1979, she said, "My Son is the Messiah. My Son has been upon earth, and he shall return again as he ascended." As Our Lady has said, the true knowledge of God has virtually been lost in these latter days. She says that the world today is a stomping ground for Satan. The old serpent is now distorting the true image of God, and this distortion is no less prevalent within the church. The end result is that people have forgotten God and the fact that they were made in the image of God. Mankind today is cloaking himself with the image of the beast by his manner of dress, speech, and the things that he entertains, instead of cloaking himself with the things of God. In a word, mankind today is being led by temptation. He's not being led by the Christ. And this is no less true of the church. The sheep are not following their shepherd, but they're being misled by these hireling bishops and cardinals who have disgraced their vocations. They now teach the people that God and his church is something that evolves and changes with time. But what are they doing but evolving away from Almighty God? They're getting away from sacred tradition. They don't know who their God is, and this is what Our Lady is telling us in the message, that we have forgotten the Eternal Father. So Our Lady counsels us to return to tradition in all spheres of life, and that we read each day the Bible, the good book, because this will be part of the equipment that we will need to withstand the deception of our age. If people today don't believe that there is a God, or that God is something that changes with the wind, then they need to read the book of Genesis, which is a written account of the creation and early history of the world. Now, in a recent show, we discussed how the universe came into being in 6 days through the omnipotent power of God, and how prior to that time there existed nothing outside of God. And of course, this is going to trigger some reaction from the science community and your doubting Thomases. However, consider this point. If all the scientists of Earth convened in a global convention and they exerted all the power of their will with the aid of their technology and computers, they could not so much as create one atom. So who is mere man, a speck of meaningless dust, to question the omnipotence and power of the Almighty? Scientists today seem to have a contempt for that sort of learning where we take God on his word and treat it as fact. Yet, that's how they learned things in life. If they know what things on this earth are, such as a rake, a car, a horse, or a buggy, it's because they learned it from their parents as children. And they certainly didn't start questioning or doubting what their elders taught them, but they took it as fact, and because of this, they got their learning right. So too, if we want to get our learning right, we have to take God on his word when he instructs us in the Bible. As Jesus said, "Unless you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 18:3. And of course, little children obey their parents. This is precisely what Adam and Eve failed to do in the beginning. They disobeyed. They lost their innocence and forgot that they were children. So Christ came to restore man back to his innocence and give him a second chance. Through the Passion, we are given the chance to correct the mistake of Adam and Eve in our own life. But if we repeat the mistake of our first parents by lending our ears to the serpent when he suggests that there's life on other planets, or that we came from monkeys, or that there really is no God, and that we therefore can waste away our life in pleasure, then the Passion of Christ isn't going to do us any good. We are wasting away our redemption. Now, the other point that we wanted to make with regards to the creation is that everything that God made is for man, since man is the descendant of the Eternal Father. He is made in the image of God. If God made the rivers and the lakes, the fish and the birds, the cattle and the trees, and the planets and the stars, it was all for man, to cater to his welfare and needs. Even the angels were created for this purpose, to guide and assist man in his journey. So that it is safe to say, with no fear of error, that if God hadn't planned originally to create man, then he wouldn't have created anything. Nothing would exist today. With one exception, perhaps, which brings us to our third point. We stated before that outside of God, there was nothing that existed before the creation of the world, insofar as creatures go. However, there is one exception to this, and that is the wisdom of God, which goes before all things. For our enlightenment, we go to Holy Scripture, where it says, "All wisdom is from the Lord God, and has been always with him." Ecclesiasticus 1:1. This helps us to establish a healthy premise on the subject, namely, that wisdom is God's own personal attribute that he has possessed from all eternity. Just as God is all omnipotent, all knowing, and all benevolent, so too he is all wise, and unchangingly so. The good Lord does not grow in wisdom. It's not something he has acquired over time, but as the good book says, it has been always with him. Yet, in the same book it states that, quote, "Wisdom has been created before all things." Ecclesiasticus 1:4. This poses something of a mystery, because on the one hand we know that wisdom always existed, with no beginning, yet it says that God created wisdom. Which is it? The truth of the matter is that wisdom had no beginning. It truly is eternal before all time. But even so, at a certain point before the creation of the world, this same wisdom came to be as a creature. God personified it. As Scripture says, he created her in the Holy Ghost, Ecclesiasticus 1:9, so that this eternal wisdom now became a personage of God with its own identity. And in fact, this was the firstborn of God's creatures. As it says, "I came out of the mouth of the Most High, the firstborn before all creatures." Ecclesiasticus 24:5. Again we read, quote, "I was set up from eternity and of old before the earth was made." Proverbs 8:23. The references to wisdom throughout the Bible are numerous, though we should note that this wisdom is always referred to in the feminine gender. As we read, "Her ways are beautiful ways, and all her paths are peaceable." Again we read, quote, "In the multitude of the elect she shall have praise, and among the blessed she shall be blessed." Ecclesiasticus 24:4. Furthermore, wisdom is maternal, and refers to herself saying, "I am the mother of fair love, and of fear, and of knowledge, and of holy hope. In me is all grace of the way and of the truth, and in me is all hope of life and of virtue." Ecclesiasticus 24:24 and 25. Accordingly, she sees God's children as her own, as it says, "My delights were to be with the children of men. Now therefore, ye children, hear me." Proverbs 8:31 and 32. Now, according to the Scriptures, this wisdom, once created, would never cease to be, but would always remain. I quote, "From the beginning and before the world was I created, and unto the world to come I shall not cease to be." Moreover, she would only be found among the elect of God's people. As she says, "My abode is in the full assembly of saints." Ecclesiasticus 24:16. So clearly there was a creature of exceptional grace and beauty that God brought into existence before he created the world in those 6 days. And in fact, she assisted the work of creation. I quote, "When he prepared the heavens, I was present. When he compassed the sea with its bounds, and set a law to the waters that they should not pass their limits, when he balanced the foundations of the earth, I was with him forming all things." Proverbs 8:27 through 30. Hence, we see that the workings of the Almighty are accomplished through the hand of wisdom. She is the mediatrix of his power and grace. She is, in fact, the resting place of the divinity. I quote, "Then the Creator of all things commanded, and he said to me, and he that made me rested in my tabernacle." Ecclesiasticus 24:12. Accordingly, it stands that she would have to be completely pure, so pure in fact, that the light of God is actually magnified through her. As it says, she is the brightness of eternal light, and the unspotted mirror of God's majesty, and the image of his goodness. And as from the Book of Wisdom, 7:26, this echoes the famous gospel verse, "My soul does magnify the Lord." The soul of wisdom is like a powerful magnifying glass through which the workings and mysteries of God become clear and manifest to us. Through her intercession, the things of God become accessible to men. Accordingly, the friendship of God is also gained through her intercession. By the hand of wisdom, God forms the saints and prophets and brings them to the sight of his glory. I quote, "She maketh the friends of God and prophets, for God loves none but him that dwells with wisdom." And that's from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 7, 27 and 28. Now, if this wisdom, once created, would never cease to be, but would always remain with God's elect, then it stands that God's elect are going to know who she is. She is not going to be a stranger among them. And even though they don't call her Mother Wisdom, she is still their familiar guide and light, just as she was to the Israelites of the Old Testament. As we read, she was to them, quote, "a covert by day, and for the light of stars by night." Wisdom 10:17. Certainly, we will come to recognize the image of the Blessed Virgin in the foregoing verses, since these verses are also references to her. For she was already present in the mind of God long before her conception on earth. And our Lord essentially makes this point in the message of May 14, 1977, where he says, quote, "My mother was destined from the beginning of time, in the knowledge of the Eternal Father, to be a spotless receptacle for my entrance into your world. My mother is not and was not an ordinary woman." Unquote. Mary indeed was unique in her conception, not only in that she was immaculate, but too, she was a creature of a slightly different order. She was human, yes, but she was sublime, which is the word that Jesus used to describe her. And this is certainly not a word that can be ascribed to any other human being or saint, that's for sure. Show me a human on the face of this earth who was lofty, exalted, elevated above the order of the stars, who is endowed with such grandeur and nobility so as to excite veneration and awe. There is no such person on this earth. Ah, but there is one exception to this, and that is Mary Most Holy, the Mother of the Creator, the Tabernacle of the Most High. Naturally, we exclude Christ from this because he is God himself, the Creator, but Mary was a creature. She was sublime, not divine, but sublime. God created her specifically for the purpose of channeling the Messiah into the world, and there was no one else that could have fulfilled this role. Mary was not chosen from among women, so that we understand, because there were no other choices. She was the only choice, the only possibility. And when the angel approached her and said, "Hail, full of grace," and he announced that she was to be the mother of God, her yes opened up the story of man's redemption. This was a key and central moment in Bible history, so it's only fit that the image of the Blessed Virgin should be embedded throughout the Old Testament prophecies, as we've seen today. As we said before, God already had her in mind eternities ago, and in the fullness of time, he poured the fullness of his own wisdom into this creature called Mary, so that it can truly be said that he put more into her, into making her, than he did the entire universe and every other human being put together. She is his masterpiece, his trophy. So if we want to be winners and champions for the kingdom, we have to join her side. She is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces of God, with St. Michael the Archangel leading the charge for her cause. The mission of Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside is to provide for your spiritual needs, and our catalog of religious gifts certainly reflects that. Of paramount importance is the brown scapular, which Our Lady has asked us all to wear in these dangerous times. You don't want to leave home without it. Our 100% wool Crusader scapular goes for only $2.95. And with that, you'll want to order your chain link wooden rosary made in Italy. Goes for only $6.95. And for an additional 95 cents, we can send you the St. Benedict Medal and Our Lady of the Roses Medal to complete your armor that you want to have on your person at all times. For your home, we provide you with the 2-inch wooden crucifix for your doors. Goes for only $1 each. For your listening edification, we have some inspiring audio cassettes and CDs that are bound to captivate you. Of particular interest is our 60-minute report on the great tsunami that devastated parts of Southeast Asia back on December 26, 2004. This includes startling predictions from Veronica 30 years ago, and shows how this is a divine warning that must be heeded if we are to avert future disasters, and how this was an act of mercy to rescue the children from the evils of sexual abuse and slave labor so prevalent in Southeast Asia. This goes for only $4.95 CD, $3.95 audio cassette. For those wishing to learn more about our saintly seer, Veronica, you'll want to order our 70-minute tape entitled The Warmth and Humanity of Veronica of the Cross. In a moving dissertation, Michael Mangan focuses on the compassion and down-to-earth humanity of Veronica and how she had to earn her crown through personal struggle. Veronica's close worker and longtime friend, Mary de Blasio, provides an inside look into Veronica's personal character. This also includes a stirring homily from Father Robert Skirla, former International Blue Army chaplain, on the integrity of Veronica and the Bayside Message. Also, this joyfully recounts the glories and supernatural wonders of the 34th anniversary at Bayside. Again, $4.95 CD, $3.95 audio cassette. And for a mere $9.95, we'll send you our Gloria Laus. This is a fine collection of Latin Gregorian chants sung by the talented Bauer sisters of the Cape Cod Scala Sancta Cecilia. Again, that's available on CD for $9.95, a real steal. For your reading edification, we carry the complete set of Heaven Speaks Today, which are illuminating prophecies and excerpts that are extracted from the Bayside Message. Each issue of Heaven Speaks highlights a particular topic of Our Lady's message. The entire set of Heaven Speaks is only $1.50. Individual issues are only a dime each. You can't beat that. And to complete your spiritual reading, we carry the official Roman Catholic Bible. This is the Douay Rheims version, which is the most accurate version of Holy Scripture in the English language. Normally, this would run you $50. It's yours today for only $34.95. This is something that no Christian home should be without. For our complete listing of religious gifts, visit us at www.smwa.org and shop online at our secure store. To order by telephone using your credit card, call 1-888-830-SMWA, that's 888-830-7692, and that number, by the way, is for credit card orders only. And if you call after hours, you can always leave your order on our voicemail. And of course, we invite you to write for the free information. You can send a letter to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York 11361, or toll-free line 1-800-345-MARY. We want to inform you of the availability of our 30-minute radio segment on Hurricane Katrina, which we think you'll find edifying. This is a concise, in-depth report which points out the spiritual dimension of Katrina, and in fact shows how this was a divine intervention to correct a sorry situation in our nation's Gulf Coast region. As apostles of the last days, it's important that we be armed with this knowledge, since it doesn't seem that the wide body of the American public is perceiving the recent Gulf Coast disaster as having had any spiritual significance. Our leaders and clergymen have failed in their duty to alert the people that Katrina was a warning from God to clean up America. So heaven is depending on faithful and true apostles to reach the people with the proper knowledge of what took place, and our report on Hurricane Katrina provides you with a perfect opportunity to do just that. The message and information is nicely captured on one disc. All you need to do is invite your friends and fellow Baysiders over for coffee and have them listen to this report. With the news the way it is right now, the people will be eager to hear this and pass it on to others. As I say, we have to strike the iron while it's hot. If you've been dismayed by a dwindling interest in the message, this will be a real shot in the arm to revive the interest and unify the work. And with the rosary said at your gatherings, this will double your success and help strengthen the levy against the rising tide of evil that is threatening our country. Our Lady's objective is to save us from these disasters. And if we can reach the people in time with the message, we can hopefully stem the tide of evil and even avert what is coming. Because one thing is for certain, if we as a nation continue to ignore heaven's warnings, our nation will be inundated with the full fury of what is coming. Already we are seeing the sprinkles before the storm. The prophecies are hitting home now. So it is up to mankind to dissolve these clouds of doom by a favorable response to heaven's warnings, but we, as apostles, have to set the stage and get the ball rolling for the rest. As Our Lady said on June 18, 1982, I quote, "Keep the faith, my children. We depend on you, because you are our little armies spread throughout the world, little in means, little in worldly goods, but great in graces." And so we propose this 30-minute CD as another piece of ammunition to maintain the good fight during these dark times. Play it for your friends, and of course you'll want to familiarize yourself with this vital information. It's yours today upon sending us $4.95, and we also have this available on cassette for $3. To order by telephone using your credit card, simply call 1-888-830-SMWA. We regret to tell you that St. Michael's Radio stands a very strong likelihood of going off the air because of financial crisis that we've encountered, and the only thing that is going to ensure our continuance on the air is your continued financial support. So if you'd like to see this program continue each week over the station, we appeal to you to get together with your friends and acquaintances and pool your funds together for the purpose of saving St. Michael's radio program in your area. Because again, without your support, we will go off the air in the immediate time to come, so we depend on you. Send your contributions on today made payable to St. Michael's World Apostolate. And again, we do remind you that your financial gift is tax deductible. For this and all correspondence, send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. This is St. Michael's Broadcast, and now we're going to hear from our president, Michael Mangan, as he comments on the recent wave of elemental disturbances.
Some of you probably heard about it. Maybe you saw, I understand he was interviewed on EWTN, and maybe some of you read the article from the website. But anyways, we've reproduced it here because this is one of the few people, one of the few bishops, that actually backs up what Our Lady and Our Lord have been saying and what we understand through the Bayside message. That these elemental disasters, these natural disasters, particularly in recent weeks, that these are clear signs or messages from God. That this is a chastisement or punishment for sin. I mean, just look at what's developed from our last meeting. You've had this massive earthquake in Pakistan that's taken at least 40,000 lives, probably more by the time we're done. 2.5 million people homeless, tens of thousands that are injured. I mean, it's devastating. We've had the Hurricane Rita that followed, of course, Hurricane Katrina. We all know the tremendous devastation that that worked in New Orleans and beyond. They had an earthquake in Guatemala. They had massive mudslides there. Over 1,000 people have died there in the last month or so. And we've experienced it ourselves here, a touch of it. And I say a touch, maybe some of you might think I understate it, but it's nothing compared to what's coming. But in the Northeast, we've had rain. We're setting records with rainfall. We had 7 days of rain. Talk about clicking your heels and dancing. That's what I was doing when I saw the sun yesterday. But we're setting records there. This is, let's call this the wettest October on record. The wettest October on record. The last time it was this wet was in 1903. But the whole Northeast, New Hampshire, people have died there, the floods. We all know about Jersey, the Ramapo River in Oakland. How many were evacuated there? How many homes and cars are floating in that area? New Hampshire, speaking with people in Boston, same story. The whole Northeast. If this happens again, we're literally going to have to build an ark. So you can see that as Our Lady and Our Lord said, and we've quoted this so often, that the elemental disasters are going to increase in volume and intensity in the latter days. And that's what's happening. And why we understand the precepts of our faith, and primarily that there are consequences for transgressions are turning away from Almighty God. And that's something that the modern church, the mainstream church, they do not want to touch. They're afraid to. And so when you see an archbishop who's referred to respectfully as the Pope of New Orleans, someone of his prestige and status, he delivered the eulogy at JFK's funeral in 1963, formerly from Washington, D.C. He was the Bishop of New Orleans for 23 years. And now he runs a television program in the New Orleans area. And they said he's sharp as a whip. But look at what he says. We highlighted a couple of quotes. I think it's up to us to preach very strongly that this was a chastisement from God. This is an archbishop who lived this. This is what this article is saying. This is what he's saying. He lived it. He was holed up in New Orleans for 4 days with water and some crackers. No phone, electricity, running water, no place to lay his head but on the ground. He witnessed it firsthand, the utter devastation, the helplessness, the hopelessness, the ferocity of Mother Nature. He witnessed it firsthand. And that's why he says, right here, if you believe there is a creator, he certainly permitted it to happen. Because that's what you hear today too. It's like, it's almost like the priests or Catholics or anyone, it's like, well, no, God didn't do this. Or he didn't know about this. It's like he didn't know about it. He didn't do it. He didn't know about it. It's like, well, is he God then? They just can't seem to understand or grasp it. But as Our Lady said, as we reach the peak of iniquity, and we're getting there, you're going to see more of this craziness and natural disturbances and disasters. And this is God's justice or judgment unfolding. As the good Archbishop says, we have reached a depth of immorality that we have never reached before. And as he also says, we are responsible. People do not speak about this, the priests and religious bishops. This is a divinely revealed truth that there are consequences for sin. I never thought of that in that vein, ladies and gentlemen, but I was doing a little research, a little reading, and I specifically picked up Father Hardin's Catechism. And this is even post-Vatican II, which makes it even more impressive because a lot of people will say, well, oh, that was back then. That was the pre-conciliar or the pre-Vatican II notion of sin. But this is post-Vatican II, and Father Hardin, the late Father Hardin, Jesuit, who wrote the Catechism, he says, it is a divinely revealed truth that sins bring punishments inflicted by God's sanctity and justice. You have to believe this if you're a Roman Catholic. And it's not that we dwell on this. Please don't misunderstand me. If anyone has devotion to the mercy of God, certainly the devotees of St. Michael's and Our Lady of the Roses do. We appreciate and recognize the beauty and power of God's mercy. Most of us are examples of beautiful demonstrations of God's mercy. We believe in it. But you have to look at the whole picture. And what's so tragic and inexplicable, really, is that our priests and bishops are not speaking out like this good archbishop. Because as he even says in the article, the people like hearing this message. He says he's going all around New Orleans preaching the same message. He spoke to 1,000 people. And he said the people clapped. They liked it. They want to hear the truth. No sugarcoating or mushy-gushy, touchy-feely, namby-pamby stuff. They want to hear the truth. So if only we could pray for more people, more priests, bishops, to show great courage and fortitude and speak out that we need to improve our morality, as Archbishop Hannon says.
You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and that was our President Michael Mangan speaking at our recent monthly meeting. Again, we would invite you to write for the free messages and information. You can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Our website, www.smwa.org.